Hey guys, welcome to the Kevin and Fred Show. My name is Kevin Kaufman. I'm your host, and I just want to say thank you for taking some time out to listen with us this week. Do me a favor, if you don't mind, before we get to today's guest, head on over to ratethispodcast.com. That is ratethispodcast.com/NLA. That stands for Next Level Agents. ratethispodcast.com/NLA and leave us a review, or just go to any podcast player that you prefer and look us up, the Kevin and Fred Show, and please leave us a review. That is the best way to support our efforts here in the show. All right, let's get to today's episode.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Kevin and Fred Show. I'm excited for today's episode, joined by my friend Jennifer Beatles. Jennifer, how's it going?
Hey, doing really well. How are you?
I am so good. I'm excited to do this. I've been wanting to have this conversation, actually, as I was just saying, kind of rehab this conversation again, but record it this time. So I'm excited for this.
Love it.
So Jennifer, let's do this. Let's start with the 2-minute elevator pitch. Tell us, obviously I gave away the punchline of your name already, but tell us about who are you, what do you do business-wise in real estate? And then we're going to kind of jump around from there.
Yeah. So the way I describe it is I'm in the business of helping people build wealth through real estate investing.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm in the business of, so when you say you're in the business of helping people build wealth through real estate investing,
yeah,
who do you help?
Yeah. So we serve two different communities. Okay. One is we help real estate investors, typically W-2 full-time employed people, start building passive income by investing in investment properties, right? Cash flowing real estate. And then we also serve the real estate agent community. So helping agents work with more real estate investors and also ideally start investing in real estate themselves.
Okay. I like that end part because it's a big thing of mine. I think as a community, we need more of that for sure. Let's go back to the first group of that first community that you help, which is kind of not people in the industry, have a job, have money that they'd like to invest and start building wealth, and real estate is the avenue that they've decided. How do you help them? And then I would love to talk about maybe how did you even get to that place? Because I'm assuming it started with helping yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do we help them? In a couple of different ways. A lot of the people that we're working with today, they're living in one market and investing somewhere else. So we say, live where you want to live, invest where it makes sense. So we work with a lot of people that live, coastal markets, right? Pacific Northwest, East Coast. And it's just really hard to get into those markets, into anything where you can actually cash flow, right? So as mentioned, the whole purpose here that we're trying to accomplish is helping people build extra income streams, right? So cash flowing real estate. And so, I do weekly coaching sessions with our community, things like deal analysis, due diligence, kind of where the best opportunities are right now. And then we also, serving our agent community, we get agents that send us deals on a daily basis. And any deals that I like, I'll buy it personally. And if I'm not buying, or maybe if I'm traveling Europe with my family or we're traveling, then we put it in front of our investor community.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of great to be in this place where we're able to serve both, right? So we're having a lot of agents that really want to work with fewer clients, but close multiple deals a year with the same client, right? That's what I had learned when I was an agent working with investors, is that, gosh, I could have 10, 20 investor clients that bought 5 to 10 deals a year, each of them. And so I had a much more scalable and predictable business.
Yeah.
So it was really, kind of fun navigating that and learning that.
And it's easier to deal with too.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And that's kind of the how and how we do it.
So what got you into helping? Let's go backwards even further. How did you get involved in real estate investing in the first place? Let's start there.
Yeah. So 21 years old, I was working two jobs. I worked as a bookkeeper in the afternoons, but in the morning I worked as a barista. So I worked from 5 a.m. to 1 o'clock working at a coffee stand. I'm originally from Seattle. And and in the afternoons I did bookkeeping, and then at night I did college. And I set this goal to buy my first house by 21. And so I was able to do that a month after my 21st birthday.
Wow.
And thank you. And so I learned so much throughout that process. It was a huge fixer-upper. And so here I was doing everything myself. Literally, I remember on a weekend, I was taking out a fireplace that had been sheetrocked over, right? Brick by brick, just pulling this thing apart. And I just saw so much opportunity with real estate. The reason why I brought that first property was it was on a multifamily zone lot. And so the intention was, okay, I'm going to fix this up. I'm going to rent it out, hold on to it, eventually tear it down and build multifamily. And so, you know, after closing on that property, I had to have income. So yeah. I closed on that property.
It helps.
quit my job. And just, yeah, I'd really decided to get into real estate and try to figure out like which way I was going to do it. So the first couple of years I was kind of bouncing around between flipping, you know, buy and hold, just kind of doing a little bit of everything. And then now it's just long-term buy and hold.
Awesome. So I got to know, so if you had a goal to own a house at 21, like, do you remember at what point in your childhood where like that became a thing, and was there an event or a person that kind of brought that on you?
Yeah. So there's a moment that I remember very vividly when I was 15 and I had gotten my first job. So I worked as a busser at a local pizza restaurant, right? Okay. And I got my very first paycheck. And I looked at that paycheck and I said, the government and the state got paid before me. What the heck? And so from that moment, I said, I want to own my own business. I just didn't know what yet. Right. And my parents, it's interesting, my parents, they had only ever owned two houses in their entire life, right? So I didn't get that from them. But my grandfather was a commercial real estate investor. And, you know, he made some money, he lost a lot of money, but he was always kind of that entrepreneurial guy that I would, you know, every time I'd see him, I'd be asking questions about how he did things and just kind of learning the way he thought. Because he thought differently than everyone else that I had known.
Right.
And so I think that those were the two kind of inspirations, I guess, that led me to real estate.
That's awesome. So you finally get into real estate. So you buy that first house and then you kind of figure other things out. Then what happens with your career at that point? Because now you're licensed, right? So you've got a real estate license. Are you selling houses to like regular for buyers and sellers, or is it strictly investor focus at this point?
Yeah. So what happened next was 2008.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That's right.
Oh my gosh, I still have battle wounds from that. All right, so 2008 happened, and I actually got my real estate license in 2009. So I saw these agents who in years prior were just killing it, crushing it, right? Making just a ton of money. And I got licensed, and I remember walking into the office, and I saw more agents walking out with a full box of, like, they were getting out of real estate.
Yeah.
Looking at me like, good luck. There's no money to be made here, young girl, right? Because I was, gosh, at that time I was 22, 23 years old. And so, again, I was so determined. I think sometimes when you're young, you don't know what you don't know. It's like that.
Blissfully totally. Ignorant. Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, so who is actually buying and selling right now? So selling, banks. I mean, my first 2 years as an agent, it was either REO or short sale, right? Yeah. So REO being real estate owned, bank owned. And really the only buyers in my market were investors. And so because I kind of had this experience, I guess, with renovations and this personality that's maybe a little bit more analytical but high drive, I just felt like my personality was great for that. And so my first five listings were actually new construction houses that I had built.
That you built.
Well, when I say built, I found the project and I brought in a builder.
Yeah. So you built them.
Yeah. So I was kind of the developer, I guess, if you will. And he was the guy that built it. But the story behind that is, I was a new agent, you know, like as a new agent, you're kind of just flounder around like, what do I do? What do I do with my time? And so I went to this networking event and this agent was there and he was like the hot thing in town, right? Like all of the builders worked with him. I mean, everyone knew him. And I just went up to him and I said, hey, do you have any deals? He's like, hi, who are you? And I said, oh, my name is Jennifer. I work with investors. Well, at that point, I had no investor clients, right? I don't know. I just said
you worked with yourself. You were an investor at that point.
I'm an investor. I own a couple property, right? And so he said, actually, I do. He said, it's not on the market. Builder friend of mine is losing the project. And there's four foundations in the ground. He had gone to a local bank, of course, you know, got a construction loan and the bank took it back. The bank said, no more draws. And so he said, yeah, if you have some investors that would like to buy this, there's probably a lot of money to be made. And I said, send me the information, but don't tell anybody else because I think I want the deal. So I got the numbers back and it just made sense. I mean, it was like you'd pick it up for like $40,000 a lot with foundations in the ground with permits already ready. And so at that point, you know, I could have focused on the how, which probably would have stopped me.
Yep.
But instead I asked, okay, who do I know that can help me execute this? And so I had previously worked with a superintendent who was a talented guy, and he had gotten laid off the year prior. And of course, nobody was building at this time, right?
Absolutely.
And so I took him out to lunch and I said, hey, I've got 4 foundations in the ground, this project. Would you get your JC license and build them out for me? Because I know you know how to do that. And he said, yesterday I was just offered a full-time position at Home Depot. I think I need to take that. And he had 6 kids, and so I totally understood. And I said, gosh, if you trust me and you do this, I'll make sure you get paid. You know, we'll figure that out. And then I promise you I'll go find more. And he called me back the next day and he said, I talked with my wife and I'm going to turn the job down at Home Depot and I will build houses for you. And so I had him on board, but wow. I didn't have the money. Like I literally.
One thing at a time, right?
I'm like, okay, cool. I have somebody that's going to build this. I've got a project. I just need to find people. And at that point I needed about $750,000. No banks were loaning money, right? And so I just called friends and family and I said, hey, I have this project. 4 foundations in the ground. Here's the budget. I think, you know, here's how much we can sell it for. So it was like $750,000, but sales price at the end of the day is like $1.1 million, right? And so I had people say yes. So they said yes. We closed on the project. That was my first 4 listings. And then I just went out and found more. And it's so cool, though. I have to say that my builder friend, right, he is doing so well now. He's got this huge company in Seattle.
Oh, that's awesome.
Every time I see a new project from him, I'm just so happy to see that he didn't take that job at Home Depot. He took a chance on me and we got that project done.
Isn't that crazy how just what seems like a just one decision, I mean,
changes everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. So I love that. Like, hey, I need listings. I'll build them. I don't want to deal with working with the banks and jumping through those hoops. I'll just build my listings.
Why not?
I love that. There's a lot to learn there, though, from you, which is just like the mindset of somebody who literally just thinks like that, who just went, okay,
yeah,
I'm not going to do it this way. I'll just build it, right? Yeah. Which now in a market like this, in fact, I literally was texting with my buddy in Idaho today, and it's literally his plan right now. He's like, I'm going to go build like 400 listings.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And I'm like, yes, I love it. I just love that mindset. Like that is such a way of doing things differently and trying to figure something out.
Yeah.
Kind of creating your own market, creating your own opportunities as opposed to, like you mentioned, the agents like that were walking out with their boxes. They were like, yeah, so good sorry, kid. Like there's no money to be made.
Yeah.
I had a similar experience in 07. Little bit different, but the similar experience was friends telling me like, don't get licensed.
Right.
Like there's no money to be made. Right. Like you should have already been licensed before you missed it.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, no, there's something different. Right. Yeah. And I think there's a lot to be said about that mindset of going against the grain.
Yeah. Sure. Well, and I think it's coming from a place of resourcefulness versus, again, you know, Tony Robbins always says avoid the tyranny of how.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes we, like should and how are all over ourselves, right? It's like, just think about who you know and what's available to you resourceful wise and just do it.
And it's the question that you asked once, I think it was an agent who said, yeah, I do have a deal.
Yeah.
When you're like, okay, I don't really know what to do with it, but I'll figure it out, right? Who do I know or what would I need to do?
Absolutely.
By asking yourself those questions, they're so much more empowering than this probably isn't going to work.
100%.
So, Absolutely. Let's fast forward a little bit. So you start doing a lot of, you're selling houses, you're investing in a lot of houses, but then how do you end up getting involved with other agents?
Yeah. So, So I would say fairly successful as an agent, just on my own working with investors. Maybe 20 clients at a time that were closing between 5 to 10 properties a year, right? So running a pretty successful business.
Yeah.
Doing it that way. And we had my first child or only child in 2014. And, you know, my husband is able to retire at 30 years old because we had replaced his income with all of our rental properties.
That's awesome.
And that was, yeah, I mean, that was a really, that's amazing. We worked really hard.
That's amazing. Seriously, that's amazing.
Thank you. It was a lot of hard work, but that was the goal all along was, retire him and then I will be next. And so anyways, I remember it was my daughter's first birthday. We were in Hawaii and, we had flown also our in-laws there. So a big thing for me is like, I want to take other people along.
Take them with you for,
yeah. Like my favorite thing is, you know, buying my mother-in-law first class tickets to like come meet us and travel and things like that. Yeah. And so anyways, we had this beautiful condo in Hawaii, daughter's first birthday, and we were all getting ready to go to the beach. And, you know, as agents do, I got sucked into a deal.
Of course.
Negotiations, right? And it was with a builder client of mine. So, you know, client that I, like top client, right? You don't.
This
like,
one's important.
Yeah. Right. And so anyways, I said, oh, you guys go, I'll meet you down there in like 30 minutes. Well, 4 hours goes by. My husband comes back. Everyone's like, hey, we missed you at the beach. And I was like, oh, okay, sorry. You know, we'll do it tomorrow. And everyone went to bed. And my husband said, hey, you know how you're like telling everybody that real estate gives you freedom? You realize you just missed an entire day on our daughter's first birthday. We'll never have this day back again. And you were stuck in the condo negotiating a deal. Love my husband. And that was a moment where I kind of paused and I said, you are absolutely right. And so took me a little while to kind of sort out what to do after, you know, getting that.
I got to imagine, like, that's a lot to receive. And I think a lot of real estate agents can relate to that, have had a similar experience. And a lot will just kind of, whatever, they'll justify their actions.
100%.
And then I think a lot of us also too will do what I think you did, which is, okay, I got to check in on that and see where, like, basically I got to own that.
Well, because in the agent community, we are rewarded for busy and the transactions that we close every year and basically by production, right? And our achievements. And so I had worked so hard to kind of build this business that I felt like was making so much money. And then yet my husband comes to me and says, look, but you don't have the freedom and the free time that you're telling everyone that you get by investing in real estate. And he said, something needs to change. And I agreed. And so, what I did with that is a couple of things. One is, you know, I had all these investor clients that were very, very loyal. And they said, look, we will follow you anywhere. You tell us there's deals in Timbuktu, we're buying there, you know, like whatever. And so I started to also as an investor, right? So I'm kind of wearing two hats, investor and an agent. And I started to look into other markets because the deals weren't as fruitful as they had been in Seattle as, you know, as things kind of changed. We got out of the Great Recession. And so I bought my first out-of-state investment in 2016 in Indianapolis. And it was like half of the price of what an investment property would be in Seattle. We got the renovation done for half the price of what it would cost in Seattle. And the rents were actually pretty close to being what we'd get there. So just for numbers, it was $155,000, but $19,000 into the renovation. We were getting about $2,200 a month in rent.
That's so extremely, wow.
Like 16% cash on cash return.
That's great.
And what I learned was what it made me successful as both an investor and an agent was no longer serving me from going from that like operator or self-employed person into the quadrants as, you know, Robert Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrants of the employee, self-employed, investor, business owner. And so I needed to somehow figure out how I get out of the self-employed / operator and into the investor and the business owner. And so, anyways, I had all these investors and they, you know, I'm talking to them quite often and I tell them about this Indianapolis deal and they say, well, can I work with your team there? And I said, absolutely. And so of course, as agents, right, we can refer business back and forth. And it was really cool. This agent was a newer agent, just super scrappy, super like willing to kind of go above and beyond for me as an out-of-state investor. Cause I'd never been to Indianapolis. Like I didn't know anyone, literally had never been to the state of Indiana, let alone Indianapolis. And just great, great guy. And so, yeah, so it's super fun. One of my clients from California ended up buying 10 houses with him in like 60 days. And just Wow. So he blew up, right? And so again, it just, you know, these, it's so fun to be this person who can connect and create win-wins. And then also just, I mean, that changed the trajectory for this agent. I mean, I think he was like rookie of the year in his office.
Wow.
Just by being willing to work with investors, right? And kind of help me out in this first deal. And so anyway, so I just said, okay, so how can I create or pivot my business model from me as an agent with my little team here in Seattle, helping people buy investment properties in Seattle, to helping anyone, right? Because I mean, my clients are all pretty much local, some from California, help anyone invest in the markets that make sense, right? So, so we started building out teams in other markets and finding agents that could speak the same language, because we do speak a different language, right?
For sure.
on the investment side. And it's just super fun. I mean, we have an agent that I met, I cold called her 2 years ago. I found her, she just had a bunch of multifamily listings on realtor.com. I just called her one day and I said, hey, you have a lot of multifamily listings. I'd like to buy one or five and maybe bring 20 or 100 of my friends. And so she thought I was crazy. And then I was like leaving for Germany the next day. So I'm like, great conversation.
See you in a month.
Yeah, I got to go. But anyways, yeah, I mean, I think I was telling you about her. Yeah. So she ended up.
You did. Yeah.
I think she closed maybe $80 million last year just with investors. She had primarily been a residential agent that was closing about $25, $30 million a year, like top producer, right, in her market.
That's still a good business, yeah.
And she ended up opening a property management company and scaled to 800, it's like 800 or 900 units in like 18 months.
That is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's amazing.
We got to get her on the show eventually because I want to talk about that
She's
property management
amazing.
Business. That's so good. Okay, so you start finding, would you find the agent after you found the market, or like how did this all start to come about? Because so tell us the name of your company that helps agents.
Yeah. So it's Agents Invest. So I'm still a licensed agent, but I'm like retired from real estate. So I don't sell real estate anymore. And, you know, we have this brokerage just to facilitate these referral fees. We don't have agents under our brokerage and, you know, anything like that. So it's just my own little brokerage in Washington, but it's Agents Invest. Our website's agentsinvest.com.
Awesome. So if I was an agent in one of those markets, let's say you called me up, let's say I'm a newer agent, or just someone you've identified, like maybe I was the person with the multifamily listings where you're like, hey, I want to buy a house or five from you.
Yeah.
What would that look like? What would you say to me?
Yeah. So a lot of times I'm just kind of gauging whether or not we actually speak the same language.
Intelligence level.
Just because you have a multifamily listing or a listing in general doesn't
mean I should.
Doesn't necessarily mean you know, right? And so, you know, I'll start asking questions like, hey, what's the going cap rate in your market? Do you have commercial lenders, you know, small local banks that you work with on a regular basis? Do you have a local property manager that you can refer to? Tell me about the last great deal that you've seen, right? And just kind of, again, trying to gauge if they have the knowledge and the experience. And then I look for things like, you know, are they trustworthy, right? What are their values? And so a lot of times before we refer any investor to an agent, I want to work with them personally.
Right.
And kind of do a transaction together, ideally. And so I'll give you another example. I connected with, we were actually in Greece at the time, a couple months ago. And we have a small little Facebook group that we just launched called Investor Friendly Agents. And I asked a question. I just said, why should an investor invest in your market? And there was a gal named Lisa, and she made a comment, and it was an incredible pitch. And I don't even remember what it was, but it was incredible, right? So it got my attention. And I said, great, Lisa, do you have any deals? And she DM'd me, and she goes, I actually have this 7-unit. It's been sitting on the market. It's overpriced. Current rents are like 800. They should be at 1200 to 1300. Do you want more info? And I said, yeah. And so she drove around town, sent me a video of the property. And I'd never spoken to her before. And I wrote an offer and just closed on that deal a couple weeks ago. So, there's great deals everywhere right now. And she was a residential agent. She was also a newer agent. Right. So that was probably her highest sale price was a 7-unit, but she knew the rents and she knew her market.
That's pretty good. What was the name of that Facebook group again?
Investor Friendly Agents.
Is that open to all agents?
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll link to that in the show notes. That's why I asked.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go join myself. So that's amazing. So how do you Now, so you've built all these connections around the country, yeah. right? With all yes. these agents, and you're connecting deals and obviously still doing a lot of, I just got to say, I love that you're not selling information, but you are doing what it is you're teaching others to do. That goes a long way for me.
Thank you.
You don't have to. A lot of people don't. And a lot of people don't. And that really irks me. It's always been, that's what I call a guru. For me, a guru is someone who talks like they know everything about it, but they've not actually done it or don't do it. And that is, for me, that's a lot. That's a big green light when I see you also doing the thing that you're teaching me how to do. Like, I got to know, I got to learn from a practitioner personally. That's definitely a core principle of mine. So you're building this network, you're building a portfolio as well, and you're helping other people build their portfolio. So how does somebody, so other than someone doing a deal with you, or passing your litmus test, how does somebody get involved in your world if they're a real estate agent?
Yeah. So we have a lot of agents that come to us and they say, I've never done an investment property before, but I want to get into this because I want more freedom, right? Because in my experience, working with investors is a lot more freedom. It's non-emotional. So you don't have to be driving, home buyers around in your car for a weekend and then only for them to say, I renewed my lease, right? So we get a lot of agents reaching out and they say, I want to do this, but I don't know how, I don't speak your language yet. And so that's where we do the agent coaching, and it's super fun. We call it the boot camp. So it starts with understanding what is a deal, because foundationally, you have to understand what is a deal. And I'll give you an example that an agent in Boise that we work with, a great agent, had sent over a deal yesterday. It was in Meridian, Idaho, so just a little suburb of Boise. And it was a duplex for $650,000. I think rents were maybe $1,800 per side, so not cash flow positive, right?
Yeah.
And then when you looked at it from a midterm furnished rental or short-term rental, right, you take one unit and same property, same purchase price, nothing changed, but you go from a long-term tenant to a short-term tenant and returns are 20%.
Right.
So there's that. And that's why I get so excited and like pumped up about this, because I think if the residential agents understood this, then essentially, I mean, you would have unlimited closings, right? If you could just look at these properties a little bit differently. Anyways, just so many potential and opportunities, but you have to first speak the language.
You do. And I love that you said speak the language, because I'm definitely not, would not qualify as an agent for you. Like, I'm putting my agent hat back on for a second because big pet peeve. Part of his focus, right? Uh-huh. But part of it was like, so you'd get the person that went to someone else's boot camp, and they're like,
right,
looking for an agent that wants to prove their worth to me, or that's willing to show that they're. And I'm like, okay, but what's a deal? Mm-hmm. I just need a good deal. I'm like, but okay, tell me what is a good deal. And so I'm saying that as complimentary to you is because you're bringing a common language and what is a good deal to both the investors, if you will, who are looking to place the money, as well as that agent. So that way we know, because there's nothing worse than, I'm like, dude, if my deal was that good, you would, like, I literally would not call you.
Right.
I would call myself first and then John or
should,
one of the other people that I like and trust that I've done deals with.
Yep.
And so bringing that language, I think, is so important. So that way we have a context of what actually is a deal and, who does that serve? And then I think, too, is now if I'm an agent and I have that context of what a really good deal is, I can also take that to other people outside of this group, to anybody 100%. I talk to in my kind of retail business, when they start saying, hey, I want to know more about investing in real estate.
Right.
That makes me more valuable to my other clients as well.
100%.
And absolutely. I think that's so, I'm glad that, I'm saying that, I guess, just complimentary. I'm glad that you're doing that because it's so needed.
It really is. And it's really, in my opinion, it's very simple. We just don't hear about it very often, right? In the residential brokerages, everything is about open houses and cold calling and how to get leads and how to sell houses.
Yeah.
And if you can look at things differently, and again, just in that duplex example, right? So we could turn something that nobody might be interested in until, having five people wanting to write an offer. Fundamentally, you have to be able to understand what a great deal is. And then, number two, we teach agents how to develop their own investor clients. One best way to do that is to just start a local meetup. So I had a local meetup in Seattle. I mean, we're talking 2 hours of lead generation a month, right? just hosting this local meetup, we would get anywhere from 60 to 100 people showing up. We would be like turning people away. We ended up charging for it a couple years ago because it was just so popular. we're at like capacity issues, right? And it was just, it was incredible. We just had so many people that, I mean, from house hackers to flippers that were saying, I'm getting killed in taxes, show me a different way. And love that.
I just want to like break something down for the listener real quick. You just broke down a way for somebody to have their leads pay them to lead generate on them.
100%.
That is mind altering. And you'll sell deals, right? Yeah. So you're getting, you had your own leads, the people that you wanted to represent actually pay you to let you be in front of them and build a relationship with them and bring value. So that way you could then sell them the real estate.
Yes. Very different than an open house where they're kind of like, no, thanks. it's like you're holding an open house, but everyone's coming to you and they're paying to be there.
What I'm hearing is like, you've got specialized knowledge. You went deeper on it.
Yes.
And then you found a way to share that.
100%.
That is, to me, it's always the key in building something.
Yes.
You got to be able to do those things.
Absolutely.
So let's bounce back over to the investor side for a second.
Yeah.
So all these people that have trusted you or come to you for education as well as deals, right?
Yes.
And to learn how to spot deals and find deals. Where do those people come from now? Are these like referrals in from current members or what do you call them? Members or clients or?
Yeah, we call them members.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are they referrals in or from other agents? Like how does that develop?
Yeah. So it's pretty much word of mouth. We've never really done any advertising. So a lot of people came obviously, you know, from Seattle clients, right?
Right.
And then they bring their friends and their coworkers and their parents because their parents, you know, want to retire early or like actually retire.
Even have a shot at it. Yeah.
Right. Right. And, we just a lot of referrals, in that way, word of mouth. Just all organic.
That's cool. I like that. So tell me more about what you're doing. Like, do you have any, I think you do events as well.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
We do. Yeah. So pre-pandemic, we used to do these mastermind weekends and we would pick a different market, invite investors to come hang out with us in a weekend. They could meet the local team and we'd do these property tours. And so, you know, we were so sad it's COVID that we couldn't do that. And so we have our next one coming up next weekend, actually.
I was going to say, I think it's next week. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we have another one planned for May. And we're going back to Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is one of my favorite markets.
Very cool.
Yeah, I've like 19 properties under contract in Tennessee. I'm trying to buy the whole city if I can.
Good for you. That's a good plan.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let me ask you this question. So I'm an agent. I'm listening in right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, I don't talk the language. I really want to invest. Should I be asking you about your, I'm going to call it your investor side business, or should I be asking you about your agent side business?
It's a great question. We actually get that a lot. So I would say if you aren't interested in developing your investor business, your investor sales business, then come join us on the investor side and we'll help you take some of that commission income that you earn one time and turn it into a lifetime of cash flow.
That's good. You said something earlier about the industry rewarding basically more deals, right?
Yeah.
I would say, I don't think my term has always been it awards. Uh-huh. So it awards staying on the hamster wheel and just doing more deals, GCI, volume, yeah, units, yada, yada, so on and so forth. And like, that's literally what all of the awards in our entire industry is about.
It is.
And it sounds cool, especially like, oh, cool, I got the medal around my neck or I got the big plaque. And then when you really take a step back, like, it's not like you can deposit that trophy.
Well, and at what cost?
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing that we all have to be asking ourselves is when you're working, you know, as an operator or as a self-employed person, there's always a cost.
Yeah. You referenced the cash flow quadrant.
Right.
And even those of us who build a team still really are in that self-employed quadrant.
100%.
And never actually fully make it over to the B or the I.
Right.
And I don't know about you. So I've always laughed because like having taught a lot, I always like to poll the room on different things.
Yes.
And one of those things is who's in real estate because you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And there's always a lot of people that have. Yes. Like there's always a good percentage of the room that has. Uh-huh. Even though as old as that book is now, that put a lot of people, myself included, on the path. And a lot of people have, but they're not actually doing anything on the right side of that quadrant.
No.
And it feels like it because I'm told I have a business, but it's actually that S.
Yeah. If you can't step away from your business for at least 4 weeks and still make the same amount of money or more.
And not have it fall apart, by the way.
And not have it implode, then you are, you're in that left side of the, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think I say that, and I think you say it too, not from a, should be ashamed of it, but like be aware of it. Going back to your moment 100%. On your daughter's birthday of like, okay, I could just go, I could, you know, brush that off, or I could go beat myself up over it, or I could go, you know what, there's something there. Let's double click on that and change it.
100%.
Yeah. And I love that you're doing that because I think that's so important. I know I found myself caught up in the awards and the what I would call the stage time and all that stuff. It's great. It's fun. None of it deposits. No. You know, none of it, you know, builds for the future. And I think at the end of the day, like, I love how clear you were too. I'm going to own a house at 21. Yeah. Husband's going to retire. We're going to do that with the cash flow from the properties. Like, mm-hmm. that is very clear. We've got a Facebook group called Next Level Agents. And probably like 2 years ago, somebody was, I forget the thread. It was probably around investing. But somebody said, and it was like the most, I've heard this a lot, but it just hit me that day. She said, you know, my mentor told me you don't get rich selling real estate. You get rich by buying real estate.
100%.
And I was like, oh man, that's why. That was when I read that book.
Yeah.
It was a big reminder. And it was like, for me, it was a little bit of a wake up call as well too. It's like, cool. This business is cool. And just selling real estate, definitely not going to get it done.
No. And yet they don't teach otherwise.
Yeah.
At the brokerage level.
It's not beneficial to.
Right.
For the brokerage. So, right. So that's my very judgmental opinion on it.
it's our soapbox. Right. Today.
Yeah. That's my soapbox. Cause it's like, it's still a hamster wheel and it's a very well, and like I would say at the end of the day, we're also very highly paid in our industry for the most part. We have the opportunity to make a lot of money, but it is still like, we're still in a box and we're still on a hamster wheel. It's just a nicer, fancier hamster wheel, but still a hamster wheel.
Right.
And we got to remember that. So that way we can focus on, if we want to be off that hamster wheel, we can get off because it's our choice, not because we didn't want to.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I want to see more agents creating their own retirement strategy or their exit strategy. Right. I mean, I know some agents that they just plan to sell real estate until they die.
Yeah.
And to me, I mean, again, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it if that's what you want.
100%.
But if you're doing it because you have to.
Right.
A friend and business partner, Curtis Johnson, always jokes that real estate agents don't retire. They just expire.
It's just so true.
Because it's 100%. The reason why you're doing what you're doing.
Right.
So where, okay. So Agents Invest, is it agentsinvest.com?
Uh-huh.
Yep. What's the other, where should somebody go, whether they're an investor or an agent looking to learn where should people go to learn more?
Yeah. So if you're an agent, go to agentsinvest.com. That's where, if you have a deal, send me a deal, please. You'll get
like
the full
deals.
Commission, I promise. Send us deals, agentsinvest.com. Or if you don't speak the language yet and you want to, and this has been, you know, enlightening for you and you want to learn more, agentsinvest.com. If you're an agent and you want to focus on investing, we have a lot of agents who are doing that. We actually have, I would say, quite a few people coming down next week that are agents that just want to invest.
But they're coming down as an investor.
They're coming down as an investor, or they're retiring out as an agent because their passive income exceeds their commission income. That's super
fun. Even better.
Love it. Addicted to ROI.com.
Oh my God. What an amazing URL. Did you have to pay a lot of money for that?
No.
Were you creative early?
No, I snagged it a couple years ago. Yeah.
Good for you.
Addicted to ROI.com.
Addicted to ROI. That is so easy to remember and so good.
Thank you.
Awesome. Anything else that we should cover today?
Guys, just go out there and do it. I'm imagining that some of you are thinking this sounds great, but I don't have the money. Guys, I'm here to tell you, just kind of the final thoughts is, you don't have to have the money. If you can find a great deal. When I was just getting started the first couple of years, I didn't have the money either, right? I mean, spent all the money on the real estate and was like house rich and just broke. But if you can find great deals, you can either partner with investors. I'll partner with you if you bring me a great deal. You make the commission income, learn from these investor clients. That's what I did. I'm like, wow, I can learn and earn at the same time, get my clients to pay for me to come to meetups, make more money that way. And so there's a lot of different ways. You don't have to have all the money. So that's what I hear that a lot with agents. It sounds great. Don't have the money.
It's so funny because when you started, the money was the hardest thing. And now it's the easiest thing.
Oh,
there's so much money. I mean, I was on the phone with a buddy last night whose company, I won't give too many details, but it's the number starts with a B of how much money they now have for just acquiring single family residential rentals.
Yes.
And there are many, many other companies like that out there. So I say that to go, obviously those are hedge funds and whatnot, but that's how much liquid capital is available in the marketplace, specifically in real estate.
Yes.
So finding money, whether it's from another agent or investors or bigger companies, that's become the easiest thing. The hardest thing is actually the deal.
The deal.
It starts
with the deal.
Yeah. And so you should probably learn how to identify the deal if you're going to bring the scarcest resource. I think it was John Maxwell that my buddy used to quote as like, he would always say, whoever has the scarcest resource holds the leadership in that room.
100%.
Yeah. So
I love it.
Learn how to do that. Awesome. All right, guys, go check it out. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate it. And we'll see you guys next week.
Did you enjoy today's podcast? Join the Kevin and Fred community, part of eXp Realty, and partner with us today. You'll get free access to live trainings 2 or more times a month, live events and in-person masterminds, digital downloads to help you run and scale your business, and much, much more. To learn more and join our community, visit kevinandfred.com/contact and contact us today. Not ready to join our community? No problem. Continue enjoying all this great content on our podcast for free.